it's been so long since I had my dick in something.
Oh, Grandpa. What are you doing in the recording studio?
What? Where am I?
Grandpa, this isn't Vietnam. We're going to record a podcast soon.
What? What the fuck is a podcast, you weirdo?
Oh, it's like the radio, but people still listen to it?
I listen to a radio, you piece of shit. You know, back in my day, we used to mow the lawn and drink iced tea and just hunt ducks all night and day. And
Grandpa,
here you are just podcasting your fucking brains out. Your arts and farts bullshit. I can't even keep up with you kids anymore. Your mother was a whore and she stepped out on me every fucking chance she got. Okay. I'm going to smoke my cigarette in this podcasting studio if you don't mind.
You cannot smoke in here,
don't
Grandpa.
Don't you fucking lecture me. It was your mother who ran out of the house, and it was her who beat you.
Grandpa, people still mow their lawns. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll just drink my whiskey and fantasize about killing the damn Slopes in World War II.
Oh. Hey, Grandpa, you want to be on a podcast?
Sure. What's a podcast?
Because I know you're all about exposure. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Indie Film Review. This is a place where we review independent films, big budget, small budget, no budget. We don't care. We will review anything. You put it in front of my eyeballs, I will review it. I think we do have there's a caveat or an asterisk in front of that. Like, if you send us something insanely, insanely offensive, I might just say, like, maybe we shouldn't review this.
But yeah.
I don't know. We have a pretty high tolerance, wouldn't you say?
Reviewing what stuff. Have we reviewed? So, like, okay, so here are, like, in the past, we've reviewed borderline pornography. Some better than others.
And on our old podcast, we reviewed definitely pornography.
Yeah.
We reviewed some weird shit. Remember the Silver Lake or whatever it was called?
Under the Silver Lake?
Yeah, not Under the Silver Lake. There was a film that we reviewed where it was all about guys who would go and meet by a lake and they would just have sex with other guys.
Oh, fuck!
And that was the entire film.
Oh, and it was like somebody gets murdered.
Yeah, and it was just jerking off for an hour and a half.
Remember the name of the movie, but I know exactly what one you're talking about.
That movie actually wasn't that bad, but I... It was so intense to watch. I'm like, this is hard. Because whenever they weren't, like, dudes jerking off, I was like, oh, this is a pretty good movie. Any other time, you're just like, man, this is tough for me to watch. But I can see the appeal for certain people. You're like, oh, yeah.
I honestly can't see the appeal for certain people. Like, if you are into men jerking off and that gets your rocks off, why do you want to watch a movie about it? Like, you want to watch, you know, little snippets. I watch porn for the story.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know.
Well, because, you know, you're sophisticated. Anyways, Dan, what film did we watch?
We watched a film called Falling. It is the directorial debut of Viggo Mortensen. Better known as Aragorn from the Lord of the Rings franchise. He was in a bunch of David Cronenberg films. David Cronenberg actually makes a cameo in this film. It stars Viggo Mortensen and Lance Henriksen. And
Lance motherfucking
Laura Linney.
Hendrickson.
Yeah. Okay, so Jared...
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to... run over you. Yeah, Laura Linney is in this. She's super
well,
cool.
Those were the ones that I know the names of off the top of my head.
She's amazing in Ozark.
Mm. Oh, she's in Ozark?
Yeah. Oh my God. She's so good as the mom in Ozark.
Oh, she's the main character. So weird. Interesting.
Yeah, she's a main character. And she's just fucking kills it in that. I did want to talk about her performance in this because I don't know if it was my expectations, because I see her so much in Ozark, and like maybe I couldn't divorce that performance from this, but it was hard for me to see her as like this, like a weak character, because I always see her as like such a strong, powerful woman in shows that I've been like in Ozark. So it's like it was hard for me to disconnect that. Have you ever had that issue?
Yes and no, but not, I didn't have that issue for this scene in particular. But I guess that's like the idea behind typecasting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and that's what actors are afraid of.
But I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead and explain the film.
So this film is about an aging man who needs to be in the care of his son. And his son is, his grown son is gay. And so it's Lance Henriksen is the old guy, and Viggo Mortensen is like the grown gay man with, he's part of a couple and they have a kid. And basically, old boomer comes to live with them and berates them the entire fucking movie.
This is like extreme boomer, caricature, like insane. And so, okay.
The big part about this film is the old man is the biggest dick, the biggest asshole, and everybody around him is just like, you know what? We just got to power through it.
And, to the point and of like evil. Like, yes. He is like, he's tormenting everyone around him for no reason.
Jared, questions.
Yes.
I got a two-parter. Yes.
Okay.
Film of the year? Question mark?
So far of this year, I mean, I know the year is early, but this is definitely the best film I've seen this year. So we'll see if that...
Question two.
If that maintains.
Well, this is kind of a two-part question. Okay. So question two is a two-parter. Here we go.
yeah, I was going to say...
Where is fucking questions? Lance Henriksen's Oscar already? Like, you just give it to him. Give it to him. And since when can he act this well? He's always playing in B-movies and bullshit, just getting money, but this movie, holy fuck.
You disrespectful motherfucker.
Dude, no, you don't understand. It's like, he's always been a...
I love Lance Henriksen.
I do too, but he has never impressed me more than he has with this movie. Like, it
what
came out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, he's so good. Everyone in this movie is spectacular. I mean, it goes without saying, even the kids are so good in this movie. Everyone fucking kills it in this film. So it's like, that's not even a question.
This film was an amazing directorial debut. Like, you can tell Viggo has been saturated in art film. He's been saturated in drama. He's just been in the industry long enough to know how to make a film and know how to construct a film.
Yeah.
Like, do you have a question for me?
So this film seemed very personal to him. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if he did draw from real life experiences and family and friends that he's had to deal with throughout his life. But I remember reading interviews about this movie and him talking about it. And he was saying he wanted to talk about how, because there's a big divide in America right now, politically as well. And it's just like how people with like different ideas can still come together and you can find common ground. And I feel like this film fails to do that. Like, it fails to really get across that idea, if that was what he was really going for, because...
I got that out of it.
Lance Henriksen is so awful in this movie. He's so... Like, he's like a caricature of just the worst human being you could ever possibly be.
Well, here's what I got out
of it. He's almost unredeemable. Like, maybe the first 18, 20 minutes, he was okay.
Well, you know, the very beginning of the film, he's like this sweet dude. And then by the time you get 40 minutes in, you're like, oh my God, I was led astray. But here's my idea about what you just said. Sure. I think he does address the issues in America very well throughout his whole... throughout the whole movie. And I think that it's less about coming together and reconciling differences and coming to a solution, but the actual process is what he's highlighting. So no matter what, you're going to be an irredeemable asshole, but there's still ways to agree or disagree. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And what's troubling, and not to get too political, is like both sides, no matter what side you're on, either we're at a point where we're so stretched taut, you know, like the rope is about to fucking break, but we're just yelling at each other, and it's like everybody is fucking wrong who doesn't believe or agree with you, and that's what he's addressing in this film.
And there's no compromising with the dad.
Exactly.
Like, you can't compromise with him on anything. And even if he does come to a compromise, He literally forgets that he has.
Exactly.
Because he has memory issues. So, what's the name of it? I forget. I'm forgetting Alzheimer's. What the memory issues is called. Alzheimer's.
Anyway.
Maybe I have Alzheimer's.
Anyway, no. But yeah. What you just said is exactly what I took out of the movie. Because you can put yourself... Let's pretend, for example, you know, you are Viggo Mortensen, right?
Yes.
You are the one who has to put your differences aside and care for the person who is your family, right? You can insert the Republican into Viggo Mortensen's character. You can insert a Democrat into Viggo Mortensen's character. And it would be the same exact message. And that's what I like about it. Like, it's such a universal character. Yes, he is gay in the film, but that doesn't matter. It's about the relationship with his father. And the most extreme example that he could think of was a boomer trying to accept a gay person. And oh my God, dude, the fucking homosexual slurs fly in this movie. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, but it's so much more of like the crazy stuff he says. And then you think about it, where what really makes me sad about how people can't be bipartisan or they can't find any common ground is usually it's like one issue. Someone finds like one issue about a thing, and then it's like this one thing that maybe 20 or 30 years ago didn't even define whatever, wasn't even part of politics. You know, like it wasn't even in the conversation, but this will define my entire characteristic of like who I am as a person. It's whenever someone takes like a single thing and they're like, this is what I am. And they've just become obsessive and weird about it. And it's like, why do you got to put yourself in a box like that and make everything about that one? Like, cause people are way more complex than that. We're not all light switches that go on and off. You know what I mean? I don't know. That stuff really bothers me. Anyways, I'll get off my my pedestal, and I want to talk about a review.
Piddle-stool?
My piddle-stool. And I want to read this review on IMDb. You can go find it if you wish. It's an 8 out of 10. It's titled, Well Done, Viggo. And I think it hits on something pretty interesting that I brought up a little earlier. So there's a lot to commend here. The film is carefully structured, full of interesting detail, while never losing sight of the story it wants to tell. On the surface, it's a family tale, but underneath, it is a drama of conflicting values, of care versus cruelty. Yeah. Viggo Mortensen, the writer, has a less steady hand than the Viggo Mortensen, the director. I don't know if I agree with that. He has created an austere father who lacks the three-dimensionality of the career of the carers? The carers he comes in conflict with. Despite the towering theatrical performance by Lance Henriksen, there is a feeling of something missing. It may be we just don't have enough backstory. How did he get this way? Is there a single line that might have given a clue? So it's like kind of saying, like, why does the family like put up with this character? Because
you have
to. This is like a real thing. Do they have to? Because in my mind, people get really tied up on like blood ties and everything like that. But if someone is this awful, I would not want them exposed to my kids or anything, like anyone I love or to myself. Like the pain and anguish that these characters have to go through to deal with this guy.
Yes, but
the price is too high, and I couldn't deal with it.
Really, you would just let your dad die, you fucking dick.
If he was like this, I'd like just have a nurse take care of him. I'm like, no, man, you're the worst. I don't think you should have to be forced to deal with people.
No, I don't think you should either. But you know, like,
just because they're related to you.
Yeah,
I think that's unfair.
No, I get your point for sure.
I understand like helping people in need or you know taking care of the elderly because that's kind of what we're supposed to do. I definitely believe in that, but, oh, man, the amount of abuse that this guy gives to everyone constantly is unacceptable.
Yeah, but, man, is it fucking good. Like, holy shit.
I was on the edge of my seat. The edge of my seat the entire
time. It's a fucking drama, and yeah, you are on the edge of your seat. Like, this, it makes your hair stand up on your neck. It's wonderful.
Okay, Dan, here's my question to you. Was there anything that you didn't like about this movie?
No. This movie was awesome.
You had to
awesome.
Be a nitpicky motherfucker.
This movie was amazing. If I had to be you a nitpicky motherfucker.
Yeah. A little nitpicky dick.
maybe
not enough dogs. There should have been more dogs.
No, more interesting camera work, I think, because he does some interesting things with the camera, but they're kind of boring interesting things. If does that make sense?
Yeah, boring, but I like that so much.
So basically, what I mean by boring interesting is like he would meditate or like hold certain frames. Like there's a scene where like it's complete darkness and it's two characters in bed and you know they're in bed, but it's in the dark and you're hanging on this for about like 10 seconds. I'm like, what is this? And that happens quite a bit in the film, but I would have liked to see, you know, more camera work, maybe. I don't know. Like, just that's just because I like cinematography, but this film is so fucking good. It's hard to, like,
some of the stuff at the end, and I like how the camera would jump around a lot, too. Because it would go from, like, really long shots of things for, like, 10, 15 seconds, and then it would just kind of start going, like, whenever it started showing nature or flashbacks, because this movie is constantly jumping from the past to the present. And it does such a good job. You're never confused. What would you say you liked more? Did you like more of the stuff going on in the present or the past?
Present.
Or is that even a question?
Yeah.
Present?
The present. That was another thing, too. I really liked the way that this film was structured. Like, constantly going back and forth into flashbacks of the kid's life or Viggo Mortensen's life and his life with his dad. And the relationship that he has with his father. Because, like, regardless of how much of an asshole his dad is, there are some really interesting tender moments that the dad is, like, you know, being a good dad.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if, like, when he didn't have the Alzheimer's, was he more of a human being than he is now?
No, because we learned that in the birthday scene.
Oh, God. It's so strange because he's so nice to children. He's only nice to kids, and then once you become a certain age, he's like, I hate you. Actually, he's mean. He's mean to the daughter's kids, because one of them has blue hair, which automatically makes him gay in the eyes of Grumpy Grandpa. And then there's the goth girl, who, it's so funny, because he's so mean to the goth girl, and the goth girl's like, it's fine. I don't care. I think Grandpa's, like, very entertaining. Yeah. And then there's a great scene where Viggo Mortensen's like, hey, sweetie, do you want to come and check out a movie or whatever?
She's like, I'm not afraid of Grandpa.
Oh, that line was so good. And
then he just smiles it off. He's like, okay, whatever.
I can just see it on him. He's just like, you would be if you knew. you would be. Oh man!
So let's start to spoil this
draining movie.
Oh, yeah, God,
We're gonna spoil this film.
This movie was extremely draining.
I highly recommend.
Yes.
Watching it.
We paid $4.99 on Amazon for this.
Yes.
It's
so this movie
well
wasn't
worth the
requested,
money.
But it's been on our radar for a while, and we're like, we have to.
Well,
watch
here's
this
the
movie.
Deal. We watched a film called Kauka, with Viggo Mortensen in it. And it was an art house film.
J-A-U-J-A is how you spell the Kauka.
Anyway.
It's weird. But yeah, that's how it is.
Viggo Mortensen did the music for Kauka. He also did the music for this film. Viggo Mortensen is a jazz pianist. And also, Buckethead was a duet on Kauka. Buckethead was also a duet on this film. And I love Buckethead. He's my favorite musician. So this film gets extra bounty points for the music.
Bounty points.
Bounty points.
You've collected 100 bounty points.
And I already said this, but I'm going to bring it up again. David Cronenberg is in this film. Did you see him?
Okay, when did he show up? Because I missed that.
He was the doctor that gives the colon exam.
No way! That was David Cronenberg?
Yes, that was David Cronenberg.
Dude, if I ever get David Cronenberg to do anything, I want him to put a finger up my ass. That's genius. Of course you would get David Cronenberg to put a finger
exactly.
Talk about that
so
scene.
So good. Okay.
That scene was amazing.
So the guy, Lance Henriksen's character, what is his name?
Grandpa. He's just Grandpa.
So Grandpa needs to get his colon examined because he hasn't had a checkup in quite some time.
And 5 years.
Yeah, they're in California. So he moves from New York on a farm to California. And he has these reservations about California. It's full of K people. And I forgot what else he said. But he needs to get this colon exam in California. And he's having such a hard time with it. And
well, he's... he's sitting there, and Mr. Cronenberg is going to put his fingy up his butt, and he's laying on his side. He's like, make sure you do this away from my son. I don't want him to get too excited looking at my butthole or something. Like, he says the most offensive shit, but I would say 20% of the time it's making me laugh, because if a stand-up comedian was saying this shit and he didn't actually mean it, it would be fucking hilarious. Yeah.
But he actually means it.
The line delivery is like, oh my God, because it's so offensive. It's making me laugh because of how outrageous it is.
Yeah, well, because laughter is a defense mechanism. Laughter is a defense mechanism.
Yep, that's true. I use that shit
for anything that's uncomfortable. Like, if it is that offensive and I laugh, it might not be because I think it's fucking funny. It's because I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, you know, it's a way of deferring that that offense.
Yeah, I think some of them are legitimately good jokes, too.
Yeah.
But a lot of it was, like, way over the top. No one should be saying this.
One of the things that was also, like the guy is a grade A fucktard. Like, there's a flashback where we learn that he's with his new woman, and I guess mom is out of the picture now, so the kids are with new woman and dad, and they're being forced to sleep in a trailer outside a hotel.
Yeah, it's awful. Because the mom has a car accident.
Oh, that's what it is.
And that's why she's not around her anymore, so they have to grow up with the dad and the stepmom, and it's a fucking nightmare. Yeah, they're not allowed to sleep in the fucking hotel? What the hell? So they can probably bone. That's probably why. Fucking despicable. He's such an asshole. Every little thing with him, it's like, there's this one great scene where when the mom was still alive and it was the flashback with the duck. Everything with the duck
God.
Them killing the duck and cleaning
the
it.
The first like 10 to 15 minutes of this movie is about the duck, and I love it.
I love all of that whole thing was amazing. But when they're finally sitting at the dinner table, and this is when you first get a glimpse of maybe this dad is like, there's something going on with him. He might be an asshole. Is there's music playing, and the wife is like, honey, I don't mind you having the music on, but could we turn it down a little bit? And he gets up and just shuts the entire thing off and then sits back down. And she's like, you didn't have to turn it off. He's like, well, you didn't want to listen to it. I turned it off. You're like, oh, passive aggressive. Passive aggressive. And you're like, oh my God. Or that that birthday scene.
Oh God. So the birthday scene is Johnny is the Vigo's name, and
little Vigo Johnny.
Yeah, little Vigo Johnny. Anyway, it's his birthday, and Dad is just like watching from the corner of the room like a creeper. And there's women all around, and there's kids all around. And it's like, who wants cake? And then they like blow out the candles, and Dad's smoking a cigarette in the house. And Mom's like, could you like put that out and come join us? And he's like, what? So I can't fucking smoke a cigarette in my own goddamn house? It's like, oh, no. Yeah, and it's in front of neighbors who are there celebrating your child's birthday. Everyone. And then he
storms off like a baby.
Like a fucking asshole. Oh, my God.
Child.
My favorite scene in the film, though. Oh, my God. There's two. My second favorite scene in the film. My favorite scene in the film we'll talk about at the end. But here's a really great scene. Dad and teenage Johnny are horseback riding.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. And Dad's like, you need to get a haircut. You look like a fucking girl. Is that whenever he says that?
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't want a haircut. And then Johnny like rides off, and he like says a slur to him, and Johnny comes back and rams him. Mm-hmm. And then fucking the dad takes the kid's head and throws him on the ground from the horse.
Holy fuck. Yeah.
It was crazy. I was not expecting that at all. That whole scene was intense.
Ridiculous.
But Jared...
pretty intense.
Jared, let's talk about...
what's up?
What I would assume is your favorite scene as well.
Okay.
Do you know what scene I'm talking about?
Mm-mm. No, tell me.
The scene where Vigo finally stands up for himself because they have a shouting match together?
Oh, yeah. So the whole film, Vigo Mortensen's like, I don't want to have a big blow up with you. It's not going to resolve anything because you're just going to forget that we had this conversation and I don't want to take the bait anymore. So the whole time he's just been trying to deflect everything his dad's been saying. And then finally, at the end of the film, there's a huge fight with those two, and the old man has just had like open heart surgery or something. And the dad is like, oh, I need help. Like, come pick me up. And he like grabs his dad to pull him up. And then Lance Hendrickson swings on him. He tries to punch him twice.
It's fucking insane. And then they get into a fucking shouting match.
Calls him a coward and what's, how he's weak.
It's so good because like throughout the film, Lance Hendrickson's character keeps confusing his wife with his second wife. And the kids are upset by that, like visibly, like the scene at dinner with Laura Linney. It's like she keeps correcting him. No, that wasn't mom. That was what's her name?
Yeah.
But he is unable to see that he's making those mistakes because of the Alzheimer's. And it's frustrating on everybody. So you have that frustration. You have the fact that he's a fucking dick. You have all the gay slurs. And just they yell at each other. And I don't want to spoil it, like that much that they say. But they embrace and
And they make sweet, sweet love, which is a weird turning point for the film. I didn't think it
went
there.
You know, I told the doctor I don't want you to see my butthole, but I think it's time for you to see my butthole.
Son, I've come to embrace your lifestyle.
You know what a balloon knot is, son?
If you can't beat them, join them. That's what they say in the army. And then they make sweet love, and they get arrested immediately because incest is not the best, relatively speaking.
Relatively speaking, I see what you did there.
Thank you. Okay, final thoughts. And then we can do some recommendations if you want.
Absolutely. I loved this movie. It was surprising. I knew what I was getting into because I love Viggo Mortensen and I read the synopsis. So far, my film of the year. Hopefully, I find one that tops it. But just the acting in this film is superb.
Yeah, this was a phenomenal movie.
Oh, another really good scene, really quick. Like,
sure.
Lance Hendrickson, they're at a Thai place and he goes to find the bathroom and he wanders off.
And at the beach?
He ends up at the beach, and he's like daydreaming about how beautiful the beach is so long that fucking tide comes in on him. And he's like wading in water now. Oh my, it was such a good film. Oh.
Well, he was in a completely different place. Yeah. Like he was in a place where he was like in a beautiful field with flowers and his wife, and they were like having fun and talking. So like he completely disassociated himself from the amazingness of the beach and being there. It's so good. Cause he's always in a different spot in his head. Wonderful, wonderful movie. For how slowly paced this film is. I was on the edge of my seat. I could not look away. It was so engaging. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Very hard film to watch, I'll say.
Yes.
So keep that in mind. It's a difficult film to watch.
Trigger warning.
So, okay. Do you have any quick recommendations you want to give, Dan?
Anything it's not an indie, recently? But I That's watched fine. A film that was what I think is a remake of a Korean film called Basic. Have you seen Basic?
No.
With Samuel L. Jackson and John Travolta.
Okay.
So basically there's a guy, there's a group of, army.
What year?
2003. And the film that I think it remade is from 1998 or 1997.
Sure.
Anyway.
Okay.
It's basically John Travolta's an ex-soldier / DEA agent who is he's been contracted to come in and try to figure out what happened, what transpired in the jungles of Panama with this group of soldiers, and the soldiers are led by Samuel L. Jackson. And in the end, Samuel L. Jackson dies. And basically they have to find out what happened among the soldiers to make him die. And it's told through flashbacks, kind of like Rashomon, but it's a remake. I think it's a remake of a film called Joint Security Area by Park Chan-wook. It was one of his first films. And that is essentially, it's a soldier story of something happened on the North Korea-South Korea border, and it's up to a middle party to come in and figure out what happened.
Interesting.
And it's told through flashback.
So, big recommendation on this?
Either Basic or JSA. They're both fantastic films.
Okay.
But I mean, it was fun to watch John Travolta. It was a pretty good role for him. And Sam Jackson just steals the fucking show no matter what
he's in. It would be nice to see them when they're younger again. Because if you would have said this movie came out this year, I'd be like, oh no. We're going to get current John Travolta now? I don't know about that. So anywho, I watched a film called The Little Things.
Oh.
Dan.
Yeah.
Have you heard of it?
No.
It's got Denzel Washington. It's got the kid from
Jared Leto.
Mr. Robot.
I have heard of this.
Yeah, and it's got Jared Leto as the villain, quote unquote. So it's about these detectives. One's an ex-detective. One's a former current detective, and they're trying to stop a serial killer from going around killing people, and they think it's Jared Leto, but they can't prove it, and a lot of the movie is him, like, messing with them, and you're like, is he the killer? Who is the killer? You don't know. But this movie's getting a lot of mixed reviews, and I think it's pissing people off because the main focus isn't we have to solve the mystery. It's all about the mystery and how people can get wrapped up in finding the killer and how that can destroy your entire life and your family and ruin the time you have with your loved ones because you get so obsessive over things. And it really reminded me of one of my favorite films of all time, Memories of Murder.
Oh, yeah.
So, if you keep that in mind and you watch this film and you have to surrender to the idea of who the killer is not important. You have to focus on everything else.
Yeah.
Everything else that the movie is telling you.
People are
then you
so,
will really like this movie.
People are so focused on narrative and, you know, wanting the narrative to resolve. And that is...
In a very specific way that they've been trained for.
The first thing I teach in film studies or in my intro to film class is narrative is just a device and it doesn't always have to be resolved.
Yeah.
Like there's a narrative structure, but if we study narrative, it's not about the ending. It's about the story that's being told.
Yeah.
Because that's where the catharsis comes from.
I fall in the same trap sometimes where I have expectations of how I think a certain genre of film should play and whatever. And we've talked about it before, different things where we're like, well, usually in a film like this, this should happen. And just because it doesn't happen doesn't mean that the film is bad.
Yeah, exactly. You just got duped, son. You got duped by a fucking movie. How do you feel?
You got duped. And I like this movie. It was good. And I think other people should watch it with an open mind.
I'll have to check it out.
So, there you go. Fuck you. Denzel's the best. Fuck you. Denzel, fuck you. No, not fuck you, Denzel. I meant Denzel is fucking you because he's so good. Does that make sense?
Well, he's going to have to share my butthole with Lance Henriksen, I'll tell you that.
That's right, dude. Denzel Daddy coming up. Anywho... Thank you all for listening. I really appreciate you. Dan, why don't you tell
people where
you
can find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. You can give us the movies for us to watch.
Yeah, we've been getting so many requests lately. It's awesome. I really appreciate it. You guys are the best. What can I say? It's a fucking Christmas miracle. Anywho, guys, Necropodicon... Really cool place. You should check it out. It's like Necronomicon, but spelled Necropodicon. And yeah, like podcasting. A lot of really cool podcasts on there. You can click a link to the Discord right on the website. Come check us out. And, you know, you can read bios, you can come say hello to us, you can talk about whatever you want to talk about there, man. We're just chilling, hanging out. And that's what we do. That's what we do, baby girl. So thanks again for listening. Dan, you have the final word.
You remember how he says that, you know, the horse is fat?
Yeah.
And you remember how he said that he thinks about fucking fat women? Do you think that he ever... Fuck the fat horse.
You know what's funny is that did cross my mind during the film. Maybe he fucked that horse.
Maybe he did. There have been a play written about it.
Maybe we're at war with Norway.
Bye.
vampires, demons, apples, mice, gnomes, barbarians, saxophones, dice. Fate of Ison is a Dungeons & Dragons podcast from New Zealand. The players are comedians, and the Dungeon Master is very, very patient. Check out fateofison.com to discover fan art, cast profiles, and a whole new world of adventure.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.